Open eye in the shotgun with Wheaton. Takes the snap. Rolls near side right. Throws. It's caught. Touchdown, Greg Little. And the Browns lead.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily. Driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Here's Wheaton. Play action fake. Looking. Throwing. Wide open. Touchdown. It's Obadiah.
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura.
Happy Tuesday, Nathan Zagura, alongside the notorious VIC Vic Carucci and our assistant Carly here for another 2 hours of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR. We are officially 7 days right, and 3 hours away from the trade deadline of the National Football League, 4 p.m. next Tuesday, October the 29th. I feel like, Vic, since we don't have a quarterback decision yet to talk about, we might as well talk about things that everybody else seems to be talking about.
Yeah, the quarterback decision is looming. We're going to find out tomorrow exactly where that's going to go. Probably something could potentially leak out before then, but that is on the back burner. And I guess on the front burner is, because it has been a lot of talk on a national level, what the Browns might do with Josh Gordon. And we've touched on this from time to time. We've said this is a possibility in talking with Josh Gordon last week on the Browns preview show and asking him straight up about his thoughts on this potential for a trade. This was last Wednesday. He had talked about it in terms of knowing it's still there because the trade deadline is coming up. And again, that trade deadline a week from today at 4 p.m. Eastern time, and that's when the NFL shuts it down for trades. And you would think in the last week, and the whole purpose of moving it to week 8, by the way, was to encourage more trading so that teams have the ability to fill spots, know that they're in contention, and proceed accordingly. If you're the Browns, are you proceeding as if you're out of everything? Are you proceeding as if you don't care about the rest of the season? Because this trade will definitely create that perception, and I'm not entirely sure that I could sit here and say anything other than this means it's all about next year.
I'm going to go ahead and say it is likely, it is more than create that perception. I think that would be a fact at that point that this is a team concerned with 2014 and beyond if they were to move Josh Gordon. I still believe Josh Gordon is one of the top 10 wide receiver talents in the National Football League. I wonder myself, because as anybody who's listening to this show, don't call up and say, well, no, you don't like Josh. I love Josh Gordon. I think Josh Gordon is phenomenal.
You got a man crush on Josh Gordon.
I'm not going to go that far, but I do think that the guy's a very talented football player, and I want him to be a part of the Cleveland Browns for the long haul. But I want him to be a part of the Cleveland Browns the right way, and that means maximum effort every single time he steps on the field and plays, every time that he practices, because this is a guy who, given that he is one strike away from being suspended for a year, should be making the most of every single opportunity that he has. And I wonder, given that I've seen a distinct change in his body language, and I would say perhaps his effort at times over the last 2 weeks, that if these trade things are not weighing on him, first of all, is that deja vu? Didn't he just walk by wearing a jacket literally 5 seconds ago?
Norv Turner's walked here in different attire, and he did it like in seconds. He changed out of whatever he had. I think he even had long pants on before. Now he's got shorts and a T-shirt. Maybe it's a different guy.
I'm literally dumbfounded. We are in the fishbowl, so we are basically a 90 degrees of glass.
And I have no idea where he could have changed. He looked like a Superman.
Right to left past us to go get coffee wearing a jacket 5 seconds ago, and then he waved to us.
Yeah.
And then I looked up, and Norv Turner's walking by again in a T-shirt did the exact same walk. I'm dumbfounded. Anyway, maybe only in the dog bowl in Berea can such things happen.
But yes.
Well, I thought I was. I thought I was hallucinating for a second.
You might be.
I thought I was. What do you eat? Anyway, I don't even know. We got some mushroom ragu. Who knows?
That might be in the
mushrooms. It must be in the mushrooms. But anyway, back to Josh Gordon.
Yeah, yeah.
So
body language.
The body language the last 2 weeks, the perceived lack of effort, at least that I've seen in terms of not running his routes, the way he doesn't go up and get the ball at times. I wonder if all this trade stuff is weighing on him, and he says, you know what, maybe I want out of here, and so I'm going to give them a little bit more incentive to ship me. Yeah. I wonder what's going on, and I'll be very happy when this is over, and hopefully he's still here.
If that's the case, shame on Josh Gordon.
Yes.
If that is the case, if his poor performance is a reflection of the thought of being traded weighing on him, that's unacceptable. You can't approach it that way. first of all, if you're a player who has any aspiration of being not just good but great, and we talk about his talent in those terms, he has to show that for the next team as much as he has to show it for his current team. It's a bad look if you're going through the motions now because you think that the team that has you might want to trade you. And I just don't buy that he is smart to do that. In fact, it's dumb.
I think it is dumb.
And it's unacceptable. So it's telling me something about Josh Gordon if, in fact, it isn't just a guy who is given to this kind of play. And I'm leaning in that direction. I think there's an inconsistency about the guy that's bothersome because it goes back to me to watching him through training camp when, after observing a lot of practices, and I made note of this, wrote about this for ClevelandBrowns.com, that he was a guy who did not consistently go back for the ball. And in talking with a lot of scouts from around the league, that's the book on him, that that was a part of his game that was lacking, that he didn't work or fight hard enough to get the ball and work on behalf of the quarterback who's trying to get him the ball. It's a collaborative effort. And that was that's been pointed out. It was pointed out as his rookie season last year, in his rookie season last year, and it was also dismissed as, well, he's a rookie. Well, he's not a rookie anymore, and by this stage of his career, that inconsistency shouldn't be a part of his game. So let me say one last thing. I think that no matter what your circumstance is, you deal with a lot of pressures, you deal with a lot of whatever, rumors, thoughts, speculation. As a player, it can never affect you. To be a pro, you have to deal with it.
I agree. I agree completely, and I want to see Josh Gordon do the things that he needs to do to stay on the field, to be a pro, and I want to see him do them in a Cleveland Browns uniform, because if he does those things, Josh Gordon will be one of the great difference makers in this modern era of football that we play. He will be a guy like a Dez Bryant, like an A.J. Green, a Julio Jones, a Calvin Johnson, a difference maker that changes the way defenses must scheme and attack this offense every single week. He's got that kind of talent, and I want to see it flourish right here wearing the brown and orange of the Cleveland Browns. Another thing I wanted to bring up here, and if you want to keep talking about Gordon, obviously we can go to that.
But you
talk about, you know, if Josh Gordon's doing that, shame on him. I heard Bernie Kosar say that, you know, we were talking yesterday a little bit about how you could sense maybe that the players were giving up a little bit on Brandon Weeden and it was affecting their play. And Bernie's point basically was you should just, at that point, you know, if that's the way you're conducting yourself as a professional, those are the guys who should be cut because they're not being professionals.
Right.
This team right now, I think, is at a little bit of a crossroads because it's unfair to in my opinion, to Rob Chudzinski. I think all he's done is do everything he can with what's been given to him, rallied this team after a very difficult situation, tumultuous situation with the Trent Richardson trade. And these guys need to get together and be the professionals that they are and that they can be and continue to give maximum effort no matter who's the quarterback, no matter how they're playing. Because at the end of the day, it goes back to what you talk about, Bill Belichick. Do your job. Take care of your job. That's all you can control. We heard Gerard talk about that yesterday. That's the only thing that you can control. Right. Doing your job to the best of your ability. And if everybody does that and everybody is doing their job, ultimately as a team, you will have success. So I'm hoping that we're going to see a lot of fight out of this Browns team, and I believe that we will against the Kansas City Chiefs.
I hope you're right. I'm inclined to think that that will be the case, but it just seems like it's storm after storm that this team has to weather. And I think that's the frustrating part, and I think you become weary.
Agreed.
You become weary.
Agreed.
Of that as a team. And I know fans will say they become weary of being fans of a team that has to always go through these nonstop storms. I understand that. But I'm also thinking about it from the standpoint of a team and of players to go from one thing to the next. Now, some things you can't control. The Brian Hoyer injury, you couldn't control. And by the way, as great as that little window was, it was really a two-game window. It's a two-game thing we're talking about. Ultimately, the injury takes place early in his third start. But where it would have gone, as much promise as it showed, yes, it was wonderful at the time. We have it's all conjecture to say that would have put us in the happiest of places going forward. For those who want this quarterback change to happen now, and I know there's a pretty good number of people who are so done with Brandon Weeden, they don't even want to think about him being the quarterback continuing with the Browns. To them, Hoyer would have been just a great run because they saw no end in sight. And again, maybe it would have been, maybe it would have turned. I don't know. But as I sit here right now, the lingering doubt or question that's at quarterback puts kind of a cloud over the entire situation, because no matter how you want to look at it, even though the Browns are in a promising spot in their division with their record,
right,
and they've beaten the team that leads the division in the first of their two games, they actually don't sit in the worst of places, yet it's hard to wrap your mind around it going somewhere positive until you really know how the QB thing plays out. And I think the other part of this piece and why this isn't a slam dunk decision that people think it is are you gonna make the team better, truly better, if you go to Jason Campbell? We sit here right now with no idea about
that. No clue. And you know, I think that's one of the reasons maybe that they went with Brian Hoyer. Brian Hoyer was unknown. Brian Hoyer had not been given an opportunity to start in this league. You've seen Jason Campbell start. He's okay.
It's okay.
He's not great. He's not going to come in here and be the spark that changes everything. There are a lot of issues on this team, and we're going to get in. We got sound from players today. We'll talk, you know, hear from DeQuell Jackson, Willis McGahee, amongst others. But this quarterback decision, while I think it is important on some levels, you have to weigh in. A, what expected boost do you get from Jason Campbell? B, is the timing on that, if you do want to go to Jason Campbell at some point and basically end, as you said, Brandon Whedon's tenure here in Cleveland, do you want to do it when he's got Kansas City and Baltimore the next 2 weeks, or would you like to do it coming off of the bye when the schedule certainly gets a little bit more favorable for the Cleveland Browns? There are a lot of things, I think, to weigh in here. I'm not sure which way they're going to go. I think whatever way they go, I hope everybody listening, everybody in the locker room, probably more important, everybody in the locker room, just gets on board with it and does whatever they can. Mm-hmm. Because there are still, you know, games to be played. There's still 9 games to go here, Vic. We've
That's
got 9 games left. So yeah. There's a lot to do, a lot to try to accomplish, a lot to try to do for this season, to set up for next season. There are a lot of things. People on this team need to realize that obviously this is a group in the front office that is not afraid to make changes. They're all playing for their jobs. They're playing for tape elsewhere, here, everywhere. Everybody needs to think every game is that important. Hopefully they do.
And here's the reality check about the quarterback position. You don't usually succeed hitting the reset button there during during the season.
Right.
Let's look around the league. Did you watch Monday Night Football last night? The Minnesota Vikings throw in a woefully ill-prepared Josh Freeman.
Oh, my God.
Put him on the field, and it was it was sad to watch. It wasn't even an NFL standard game by any stretch.
It was like a preseason game. It was awful.
It was even worse than a preseason game.
It was one of the worst games I've ever seen.
I felt bad for Josh Freeman. I felt worse for Leslie Frazier. I know a lot of people in the Vikings organization. And I said, that is what you're down to now, and this thing looks pathetic. Okay, so there's one example. And other examples, Philadelphia kind of going back and forth. And again, injury causes some of this stuff, but from Nick Foles, looks wonderful 1 week, really stinks it up the following week. Now they'll be back to Michael Vick there. You don't reset that position well in the season, even when you've got more accomplished people than what you're maybe talking about here. And really the only accomplished guy, you can call him that, is Jason Campbell based on his experience, but in terms of what he can really do for you, he's had some nice moments over 9 years in the league with different teams, but has he had traction with anything or anybody? No. And that's part of it. And the other part of it is he wasn't prepared to be the starter for this team. This team went through the entire offseason and training camp and preseason preparing Brandon Whedon to be the starter. So Jason Campbell, if he gets the ball tomorrow, or the decision is made, it's yours to take the rest of the way. You're going to say, okay, quarterback, you're going to be our guy for more than half the season, even though we didn't prepare you truly to do this. Now, the skeptic will say, or the rebuttal will be, hey, he's 71 career starts. He's a 9-year veteran. You put the ball in his hand, he should be able to handle things as a starter. And I say not necessarily until you actually see a guy working with, and what is he working with? We see the inconsistency of Josh Gordon. We see overall a receiving group that doesn't really do a ton to help the QB in any way. They all have some major flaws there. And the running game gives you, Yeah, something, but it doesn't give you a lot. And the running game didn't give you much pre-Trent Richardson, and it's not going to give you much a whole lot post-Trent Richardson.
Yeah, that's part of the problem, too, is that the way that this offense is performing with Trent, without Trent, as you pointed out, it is dependent on the quarterback, really, to carry the bulk of the offense. And right now, the quarterback has not been able to do that. The receiving core outside of Josh Gordon, who's, other than this last game, had been averaging over 100 yards per game, and Jordan Cameron, whose numbers have looked good the last 2 weeks, but really it's all come when the game was well out of hand and meaningless. They're kind of meaningless stats at the end of the games there. The receiving core is not getting it done. The quarterback's not getting done. And this isn't a team that can say, okay, we're going to just turn around and run the ball, you know, 25 times, because if they run 25 times, they're going to pick up 60 yards.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be sad. By the way, we're going to have a wonderful guest for you in about 45 minutes or so from now. Sal Palantonio from ESPN. He's a regular. We try to get him at least on a monthly basis if we can. Sal Pal is great, fun, dynamic, so we'll bring him aboard. And then we will do, and this is something we like to do on Tuesdays, after further review, our outstanding producer, Dave DiNatale, will ask us a series of questions that we'll respond to on the air, and always have fun with that. We want to hear from you, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850, to weigh in on thoughts on Josh Gordon, weigh in on thoughts on this quarterback situation. You know that that's going to be just an endless discussion for this team, so we might as well just get more practice in talking about it. Tweet us at Browns_daily, at VICCARUCCI, at NATHANZEGURA. Want to hear from you in all forms and fashions.
I like that. Yeah, communicate with us. Get at us.
Chat with us. What else? All right, so we'll keep this thing rolling along. It's a football Tuesday, which means not an off day for us. Players are off. Nathan and Vic are here. We're here with you.
That's right.
Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.